Hey, everybody. Welcome to Post Political Podcast. I'm the host, Derek Britton, and I am super, super excited to have the guest on tonight that we do. I will introduce her in a second, but first up, let's hit the advertisements. So we have the Vermin Supreme Institute. We are happy to announce that the Love in Action fundraiser benefiting the homeless camps in Reno, Nevada area is going on right now. Please donate if you can and volunteer if you're in the area. I will be placing the link in the comments for the landing page for that. So check that out. And like I said, donate if you can. It's a really good group doing a lot of good things there. So it's very worthwhile. And next up, we have Brewed Coffee. If you're in Lexington, Kentucky, check out Brewed Coffee and Beer Drinkery. You can check out my affiliate link. Also, will be in the comments. You can buy mugs, shirts, hats, masks, all sorts of stuff there. So check out my affiliate link and support, you know, the podcast and local business. And last up, this is a new one. We have me, the Post Political Podcast merchandise. So I haven't actually advertised this yet, but if you want to check out my shop, you can buy hats, fanny packs, baby onesies, and even tote bags. You can use my coupon code in the corner there, Unity, and get 10% off your entire order. So it's postpoliticalpodcast.com/shop. And again, that will be in the comments as well. So tonight we have, like I said, one of my good friends and an incredible activist, libertarian, and just overall person, just incredible person. She is the chairwoman of Outright Libertarians, the director of education at Vermin Supreme Institute. She also is on the North Adams Human Services Commission and the board of directors at the Berkshire Stonewall Community Coalition. So without further ado, let's bring in Ashley. How's it going, Ash?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
Very good. Yeah, it's been a busy day. I just got done bath time with Kennedy and all that stuff. So I'm super excited to be able to kind of sit here and talk to one of my good friends about all the great work she does. So yeah, how's your day today? You have a good day?
Yeah, a bit long. I had to work earlier, and then I just finished a committee meeting for North Adams. So we had our IDEA, Inclusivity, Diversity, Equity, and Access committee meeting, where we're facilitating training for the North Adams City Council and council members on DEI type training. So.
Oh, that's great. I know you are involved in a lot of different things locally and nationally with some of the Vermin Supreme stuff. There's a lot of things that you work on. And I want to start off by talking a little bit about kind of how you got to the third party system and being a libertarian. And, what was your path here? I know most folks don't start here. So I'd love to hear what you kind of came through to get here.
Yeah, so back in college, I considered myself to be fiscally conservative and socially moderate. And as I kind of learned and evolved about things in politics and how the system worked and learned about politicians and the system, I found myself drawn to libertarianism. I didn't officially join the party until 2008, and I didn't officially really start calling myself a libertarian until maybe 2016. Yep. But truly, I was a libertarian before then without even realizing it. And so I did. I was able to vote for Gary Johnson in 2016, and that kind of brought me into the libertarian sphere of things. And in 2018, I decided to reach out and be like, okay, I'm ready to get involved, but I need some assurance first. So I sent a message directly to then Chairman Nicholas Sarwark, and I was like, hey, my name is Ashley. I'm looking to get involved in the party, but I have some hesitation as a transgender woman joining the Libertarian Party. And so I asked him directly, are transgender people welcome in the party? Do we belong? And he unequivocally immediately responded and said yes. Yeah. And so I asked him if he would put out a public statement, and he did. And so I immediately joined both the national and state parties, and that's how I started getting involved. And that was in June of 2018.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, you hear there were some common things there that I've heard even previously with, you know, a bunch of folks who found themselves, you know, heading into the Libertarian Party was they were doing these things and thinking kind of these things before they even considered themselves a libertarian or calling themselves anything like that. And it really is an interesting way that most folks get here, but they typically have that piece in common, I guess. So, no, it's great. And I think, you know, the Libertarian Party, I got to say, is much better off that we have you. You've done so much and, you know, really helped influence bringing a lot of folks in. I've seen folks who had similar questions to what you had about how the Libertarian Party is welcoming or not welcoming to folks, you know, whether it be for GSM or LGBTQ concerns or else. And you've been a really great bridge builder, I guess, is what I like to kind of say. So I know, you know, you're in a bunch of different things. One of the things that I first, I guess, was exposed to you or whatever was in Outright Libertarians. I saw that you were the chairwoman of that. And I'd love to hear a little bit more. We heard on the very first episode, actually, from Chase Oliver.
Yes.
But I'd love to hear more from you about the organization and kind of some of the things that you do to not only make folks feel welcome and well represented, but also, you know, some of the outreach to the community as well.
Yeah, so I was elected chairwoman back at the end of June of this year, or of 2020. So it's been about 7 months now where I've been able to serve the organization as chair. Before that, I kind of got involved in Outright. It kind of turned out to be a great thing that happened. The first ever National Transgender Visibility March was happening in DC, and this was back in 2019. It was the end of September. And I was being asked by several people to go as a transgender person to go and also, you know, help represent and be there with other libertarians. And Outright stepped up and sponsored me so I could go. And that's what led to my involvement with Outright as an organization. From there, I served the remainder of term for the policy and outreach coordinators who had left. And now currently I'm the chair. So our mission at Outright Libertarians is to be the bridge, the gap between the GSM community and the Libertarian Party, and also to represent GSM people and issues within the party, make sure GSM voices and GSM issues are seen, heard, and always represented.
Yeah, and just for the folks you know, a lot of folks come from a bunch of different political parties and backgrounds and stuff that watch the show. So just for the folks who don't know the acronym, because I find it is very commonly used in the Libertarian Party, but not as commonly used, I guess, elsewhere. GSM, gender and sexual minorities, but I feel like it's a more encompassing term because it really does help include. It's a very inclusive term, I think, and it helps.
Yeah, it helps. It helps alleviate some of the alphabet and the plus. You know, instead of saying LGBTQ plus TIA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, it includes everybody right off the bat, and we don't have to add any more letters. So it's a great opportunity to be more inclusive for the community and make sure that everybody is included.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think it's great. And yeah, I just wanted to make sure folks knew we both use the acronym, and I just wanted to make sure folks knew what was going on there. But also, you know, I know not only are you involved, you know, with a lot of the Libertarian Party stuff, but you're also involved locally with and not only just locally in your community location wise, but also with the company that you work for as well. And can you talk, you know, I know we could spend the entire podcast just talking about all the stuff that you do, because you do a ton. But if you could briefly touch on some of that stuff, I'd love for folks to hear about it.
Yeah. So in my community, I serve on the North Adams Human Services Commission. Our role is to essentially every year there is grants funding that is available for cities and municipalities. our job on the Human Services Commission is to help decide what types of organizations they go to and how they impact our community. So we kind of end up doing the grading of grants and proposals that come in and programs that come in for specifically North Adams. And then we help decide how that should be distributed. And we really value programs such as food pantries and food shelters, children's things. One great program out here, there's an after-school program that does a lot with music that we've sponsored several times. So all these different organizations that really help the residents of North Adams. I also serve on a new commission that was launched a few months ago for inclusivity, diversity, equity, and access. So it's a DEI type system, and we're developing programming and education for the city. So all city employees will end up getting some of this training. Our city council is going to take the training, so that our representatives in our government have a better understanding of the marginalized communities and issues that marginalized communities face here in our city. So it's a great thing to be a part of. Other than that, I serve as a board member of Berkshire Stonewall Community Coalition. It's the longest serving nonprofit LGBTQ GSM organization in Berkshire County. It's been around since the mid 90s. Oh, okay. I also serve on the Berkshire Pride Planning Committee, and I serve as a facilitator of Berkshire Transgroup meetings in Northern County here in North Adams. So I'm involved in quite a few different organizations and groups, and I love working with the community and being able to help people.
Yeah, and I think it's so important, especially the training thing that you're talking about. I mean, that's being able to, so, you know, the folks who are making some of the rules and regulations locally in your local community, and if they are not exposed personally, if they don't have friends in the GSM community, they could be very unaware in making rules that they, you know, are hoping to help, you know, some situation or with poverty or something. And at the end of the day, actually be hurting the community that they're just not really exposed to. So I think that's incredible. And I think more, I'd love to see, you know, more places around Massachusetts, but also around the country, you know, take that lead and really, try and do a better job exposing not only, you know, to the GSM community, just other communities that they might not be, you know, as in tune with that they're representing.
Yeah, and this all kind of stemmed from an incident last summer where a city councilor went on live public TV and really just disparaged the BLM movement and just said some really awful prejudiced, racist type language, and he ended up being forced to resign through the city. So the idea for the training came from that, and making sure that people who are representing us in the community, who represent us in our government locally, have a better understanding of these communities, and you know, have a better relationship, understanding of what these communities go through, what these communities, what their issues, specifically, you know, target them, and especially making sure that they are also represented in government, because when officials are elected, they are there to represent all of their constituents, not just the straight white males. So, you know, it's really important that our representatives and officials in government are there to represent and understand all of their people, and not just the ones that donate to their campaigns.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's wonderful. That's a really, and it's good that the, you know, community realized that and put in place something that could help, you know, maybe not fix the problem on day one, but start heading in the right direction. I mean, that's all that we can hope for with government, as we both know.
Absolutely. And you know, when it comes to elected officials, they can do whatever they want, of course. You know, right. The only way to hold an elected official accountable is through voting.
Yep.
So while the city council unanimously put this committee together and asked for the training, who knows what future city councils might want to do or not want to do. And so it's really important that we develop something that's comprehensive, that can be adjustable and long lasting, so that in the future, this kind of training and these kind of ideas stick with us going forward as well. And so not only do I get to do that work for the city, but in my current day job, where I work for Wayfair, I lead an employee resource group called Way Out in the Pittsfield site here where I work, which is an employee resource group for GSM people and allies, to talk about GSM issues both in and out of the workplace and to help each other grow and get stronger in our careers. And through my work there, I was selected to be a part of the Wayfair Impact Council, a corporate council of different people that are there to not only do DEI type training, but also corporate responsibility throughout our global operations. So I get to serve on a board of people who are not only just worried about DEI and diversity, but also how our global corporate responsibility looks and making sure that we are responsible to our customers, our employees, and our world that we exist in. So it's a really great thing to be a part of. And I love that it leads to being able to help people, because at the end of the day, that's what I enjoy, is helping people.
Yeah. It's like you read my mind. It's perfect, absolutely perfect segue into the next piece that I wanted to talk to you about. And this is the big one. You know, this is really why I want to have you on and talk about this, because it's wonderful. I've actually, you know, the last, I don't know, I almost every single guest I've had on, specifically if they're, especially if they're talking about, you know, trying to make political change or anything like that, speak from kind of a love and compassion message, you know, a messaging kind of point of view. But I don't, you know, there's not too many people who do so as well as you do. I've seen a lot of folks do a very, very good job. And it's not, you know, no knock against anyone who's been on the show previously, because they do a wonderful job. But they specifically usually talk to their audience. You know, they know their audience and they speak specifically to their audience. And what I've seen you do with that, it's very, very hard to find others that speak like this, is you speak to people. You speak to every single person that's listening to whatever you're, you know, I've seen you go live and talk about some really serious events that have happened in recent past here. I've seen, you know, a ton of your messaging go out. I've seen you help for messaging for other political campaigns. And like I said, I haven't seen anyone kind of nail the ability to lead with love and compassion, but also just use that message to broadly impact people. And where does that come from? How did you get there? And really just, I want to hear more about it, because it's so wonderful. If more folks had these tools, they'd be able to get their message out there.
Yeah. So it comes from, you know, most of my, I had a very difficult childhood and growing up situation. I had a lot of struggle and a lot of trauma in my life. And, you know, eventually I was able to find my way in the world. Eventually I was able to come out and be who I am supposed to be. And coming out really taught me to, one, that I actually enjoyed life. Two, that I really enjoy helping other people. Genuinely, it makes me happy if I can help another person. And three, being someone who's been in the darkest corners of where the mind can take you, I never want anyone to feel the same way. I never want anyone to go through that. And if they are going through that, I want them to know that they're not alone. It's really important for us to understand, especially in times like right now with COVID and all the things that go on in regards to that, mental health is a huge, huge thing that we all need to look at and reflect upon. And it's really important to be there for people, because one thing that we've learned from the isolation is that humans are not meant to be alone. Humans are meant to interact with other humans. Humans are meant to be around other people. And so I want to be the type of person that other people want to be around. I want to be the type of person that shows people love and compassion and really makes people feel welcome, because I want to feel welcomed.
Yeah.
I want to feel loved. I want people to feel compassion. And so my philosophy has just become, this is the world I want to live in. And to live in it, I need to show people how to do it. And so I message to people based on three things, and that's compassion, education, and love. We have to be willing to listen to other people first, to truly listen and hear what they're saying. Listen before you respond. Don't even respond right away. Take a moment, breathe, let it sink in. Don't listen to respond, listen to learn. It's very important. And then to teach people the things that a lot of society is driven by fear. A lot of society is driven by a lack of understanding that leads to fear. And so if we can clear up misconceptions, if we can educate people, if we can just be nice and kind to each other, we open the door for them rather than being afraid and potentially hostile. We open the door for people who may be afraid or hostile because they're afraid. We open the door by being kind to allow them to say, okay, well, she's actually not so bad. Maybe people like her also are not so bad. And eventually they can come around. And at the end of the day, you know, we'll have a future generation of people who won't have to struggle the way I did and the way people have to today. And of course, as you know, as a new father, you have a newborn baby, a beautiful baby, Kennedy. And I do my work for people like her. I do my work so that when she grows up, she can choose to be whoever she wants to be and live in a world where she doesn't have to be afraid to be who she wants to be, to express herself. That's what it's all about. It's about making things better for the people who are coming and making sure that they don't have to go through the pain and the struggle that we are going through today.
Yeah. No, and you touched on a ton of good points there. I mean, one of the big things that I, you know, you and I talk very frequently now, you know, we talk every single day, basically. Yeah. But even before we got to know each other to that point, you would still send, you know, wonderful messages of inspiration, which was great, but also just a, hey, how are you doing? Just to check in. And we didn't really even know each other that well. And I know, you know, through someone, I don't remember who, but someone posted on social media, hey, I got this from Ashley. Does everyone get these? And there was so many people who got, you know, these wonderful messages from you. And you live it. You know, you're not just staying here saying what people want to hear or saying the right thing or saying, you know, you're doing what you're preaching. You know, it's hard to find people who kind of say the right thing and do the right thing. Most, you know, you get one or the other and you're able to spread that message, educate people that, hey, this is a better way forward where we can actually help people. We can make sure that our friends and family, and even, you know, folks that we might be just kind of pass by acquaintances are doing okay and you know, having the best life they could that day because you checked in on them and just saw how they were doing. And like you said, with COVID, it is more important now than ever to do so. So, you know, folks out there who are listening, please do that. What Ashley does. I've started doing that to my friends because Ashley has done that to me. And it's just kind of, I'm trying to, you know, pay it forward as well. Cause it's just, some days when I am having a rough start of it, you know, Ashley sends me a beautiful inspirational message or, you know, even just a little graphic or something that really makes me think and puts things in perspective. I mean, it's just wonderful. Like I said, you practice what you preach, which is rare. So,
well, thank you. I don't get to everybody. I have almost 5,000 Facebook friends. But the ones I interact with the most, probably maybe 150, 200 people, you know, these people are my friends. These are, you know, real people that I consider to be real friends.
Yeah.
And when I consider somebody a friend, they're important to me, and I want to make sure that they're okay, and I want them to know that I'm thinking about them. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just send somebody a message and say, I'm thinking about you, and I hope you're well.
Yeah.
And just knowing that somebody out there is thinking of you, knowing somebody out there cares, can be really uplifting on a bad day when somebody's having a bad day. And so for me, I'm all about showing appreciation for the people in my life and making sure that they know that not only do I appreciate them, but I care and that I'm here for them. And so I try to do that frequently just because it's important to me that the people in my life know how much they mean to me and that I'm there for them.
No, that's awesome. That's yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I could pour over more and more just how wonderful it is, because I've been a recipient of that, and it really has made a huge difference on, you know, like I said, the some of the bad days that I have. So how do we, one of the questions that, you know, kind of came to my head when I was thinking about talking with you and what I'd love to hear more about was, how do we take, you know, that wonderful intention that you have, that wonderful goal of helping people, being compassionate and driving with love, education, and compassion, how do we take that and turn it into maybe not necessarily like full-blown policy, but like things that we want to back, things that we want to support and go out there and do, whether it be outreach or mutual aid programs or anything, but how do we kind of take those characteristics and qualities and really turn it into kind of direct action and you know, political activism, I guess?
Yeah. So when we think about it, we have to think of in terms as we're all human beings here, right? If we look at each other as human beings, we can get past some of the differences. We're all human, and it's really important to humanize each other. It's very easy to be dehumanized, especially in the political world. What happens is that you become afraid because the other people that you don't agree with have these terrible people that want to do terrible things to you. And so their ideas are horrible and they're going to hurt you, is how you're taught to think. And because you're taught to think and know that they're going to hurt you, they become the enemy. They become these terrible, awful people. And there are some people out there who want to hurt you. Right. There are. But most people don't actually want to hurt you. Most of the time, it's a lot of talk and a lot of misinformation being thrown out there to rile people up and get them to be afraid. Yep. Because when we become afraid, we don't think clearly. We don't think compassionately. We think, I have to protect myself. And when we go into that defensive mode, or even I got to go on the offensive and stop this, when we go into the offensive mode, we force others even further into their positions.
Right.
So if somebody is hardened, you know, if somebody's a moderate person who's kind of on the fence about, let's say, for instance, I'm a trans woman, somebody that's never met a transgender person and is like, well, you know, the Bible kind of says that this is that, and this is what I've kind of heard from church and stories, and I don't really like transgender people, so I don't really care type attitude, or, you know, I don't like transgender people because the Bible says so. Well, have you ever met a transgender person? No. Have you ever talked with one? Have you ever even had a conversation with somebody? Those are the kinds of people that we can reach and turn into allies by just being kind and being willing to have a conversation with them. Now, the people out there who truly want to do harm to you, you have every right to defend yourself from. Right. But what it comes down to is we have to stop looking at everybody as the enemy. Not everybody is the enemy just because they disagree with what we're thinking, or even if they disagree with our lifestyles. That doesn't make them the enemy just because they don't agree with us. They become the enemy only when they want to take action against us. They become the enemy when they're saying, well, you can't live in our society. Okay.
Right.
Well, now we've got a problem. Now I'm going to fight back. Right.
Yep.
So there is a line that has to be drawn. But again, the idea of calling everybody the enemy makes it easy to dehumanize them. And when we dehumanize them, we don't treat them as regular people. It becomes a lot easier to hate ourselves. And when we start to hate, we become shackled. We become shackled to that anger, resentment, hatred. And when we're shackled, we cannot be free. And humans want to be free. Human nature is freedom. And so the best path to get to being free, to get to freedom, to get to our goal, which is liberty in our lifetimes, is through love and compassion and understanding and educating ignorance. Yeah. We have to take the time to listen to why someone may say they hate somebody or a group of people. Maybe they had a bad experience with a group of with somebody from the community and decided the whole community is terrible. Or an entire religion is terrible because, you know, and so it's important not to throw individual people into all these groups automatically. Like just because somebody says I'm a Christian doesn't mean I should hate them because they hate gay people or GSM people, because not all Christians do. And while a lot of political action is through the disguise of religion, that doesn't mean all religion is bad and that all religions hate or want to see you hurt.
Right.
And it's important to remember that. And it's important to come back to that humanity and say, well, at the end of the day, this is a human being and I'm a human being. And I would much rather try to reach out to somebody and have a conversation than to go to war. I don't want to fight and hurt people. Now, if they attack me, I'm absolutely going to defend myself. And they would be very stupid to do so. I'm a big woman. I don't take no shit.
Yeah.
you know, I like to say that I was lucky as a trans woman coming out. Before coming out, I was a semi-professional football player, 6'2", 340 pounds, offensive and defensive line. I was big and strong, and I'm still big and strong. Yeah. So I don't worry about my safety so much as other people do, which has become a blessing for me. I don't have to be afraid of whether or not I'm safe. But for those who do, I want to live in a world where people don't have to be afraid to just be who they are.
Yeah.
Nobody should have to live in fear because they love somebody. Nobody should have to live in fear because they feel differently than other people do. You should always live to your truest self and be honest and be open with who you are. And the people that don't like that, I'm sorry I can't help you there. Yeah. But I hope you'll understand that it's not personal. It's nothing against you. This is for me. This is me living my life. And life is too short to live by your rules, honey. I gotta do what's best for me. Okay? We only got a certain amount of time on this big, beautiful planet. And while I'm here, I'm going to focus my time on being who I am and being true to who I am and hopefully making it a better place so other people can as well.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you've described kind of the ultimate goal for sure. And it would be, you know, it feels like it's, you know, when we talk about it with folks who agree and believe the same beliefs, it's very easy to fall into the trap that we're close, we're almost there. Then you hear about stories or you see awful things. The death toll for trans people in 2020 was it should be zero, obviously, but it was way high. It very, very scary. And those kind of sobering moments of we are very far from where we need to be. We need to make sure that our friends, our family, and people just in general, everyone, like you said, people are people. We all should be able to be who we want to be without that fear. And we are very far away from that. So like you said, I mean, one of the big pieces that you lump in with love and compassion, and it, when I first heard of it, lump all three of these together, education just seemed like it didn't fit exactly with love and compassion, but it does. You don't get there without that education. And you know, I just Tuesday night we had the woman who founded Black Teachers Matter. She's an educator. She pushes education. That we talked about education almost for the entire time. And it's so true that without kind of she mentioned, you know, turning the light on, without that, yep. that you know, turning the light on for folks, they may have never been exposed, like you said, they may have never been exposed to a person who is trans or black, or, you know, I grew up in rural Maine, and there was not a lot of diversity there. And I went to college and changed that, you know, my whole purview changed. And not that I was ever hateful or, but I just didn't know. It was an ignorance. And I think that folks give folks who have that ignorance maybe a harder time. Like you said, there are people who really do want to hurt people, and those people shouldn't be given kind of leeway. But there are people who are just truly ignorant and don't know, and they don't mean any harm. They don't, maybe they do say things that they don't understand are harmful, and correcting them. I mean, I always had a hard time correcting folks, but, you know, my sibling is gender neutral, and mm-hmm. I fight very hard to make sure that people use the correct pronouns and things. And I never got that until that moment. So it really does take the education piece. And you know, I it finally clicked for me at one point when you were lumping those three together. Yeah. But it's such an important part.
Yeah. So when you think about it, compassion brings people to the road. It brings them in. Education is the tool to travel along the road. And love is what lights the way. Because when you're traveling in the darkness, it's very, very hard to travel along the road. It's very, very hard and difficult to travel through hatred and anger and resentment. But when you get out of that and you learn kindness and compassion and empathy, and you come back to humanity, when we come back to the idea of humanity, and you see and feel love, it all just becomes really clear. And it allows you to travel the road. And it takes all three, compassion, education, and love, to find freedom. Because that's what's at the end of the road. That's our goal. Yeah. Liberty, the ability to live without fear of who we are and who we love. The ability to live our lives the way we choose without interference, as long as we're not hurting other people. That's what's at the end of the road. But to get there, we have to be kind to other people. We have to teach them and bring them along, and we have to show them love, because love transcends everything else, and love truly lights the path. And that's why I like to say that love is the brightest flame in liberty, because the torch of liberty is lit through love, and it's love and that light that show people and bring people in and show them the way through to freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the that little kind of slogan piece there. So kind of to build off that a little bit, you know, you have started an exploratory committee for city council. You know, I am on your team, so I've seen the logo, which has that right at the bottom. And I thought it was wonderful. You know, I saw some of the earlier graphics and stuff that didn't have that, and you were very adamant that you wanted that. And it does bring forward such a positive message, and one that's not, I mean, you know, like I said, there are plenty of other libertarians who do, you know, message with love and really bring that as part of the top part of their campaigning, but you don't hear that commonly. It's not like people are giving love as a big stereotype to libertarians. They give a taxation of theft. They give it, you know, all these different things that become, and there's nothing wrong with that being part of your message if that's what you are fighting for. But leading with love is going to bring so many, it doesn't seem like just a libertarian thing. It seems like a humanity thing. And those are the people exactly. You want to interact with.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's not a political message, although with my exploratory committee, I do plan to use the ideas of compassion, education, and love as part of my campaign, because I am tired of seeing parties decide that everybody's the enemy and everything is terrible and bad. Let's point out the good things that we can do for each other. Let's point out how we can help our communities and the people in them. Let's work together as people. Even if we disagree philosophically on certain issues, let's work together on the good things that we can all do together. Let's fight for everybody to be represented. Let's make sure our community is one that is safe for everyone to be in, that is welcoming to everybody, and that allows people to live their lives how they choose. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to get to. And so I have decided to open an exploratory committee for office. And if you'd like to show the sign, please feel free to. But I'm doing this because I believe that through compassion, love, and empathy, we can and will make a difference in the community, that we can help change the face of politics. Politics has become a really dirty, aggressive business. And we need to go back to remembering that we're all people, and that we have to figure out a way to work together, because we have to coexist in society together. The alternative to that is that everybody goes to war and everybody dies.
Right.
And I'm pretty much against war. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm tired of wars.
Yeah.
This country has been in enough wars. And we are in war overseas. We are in war with organizations that are underground that we can't find.
Right.
We do not need to be at war with our own communities, with our own neighbors. What we need to do is listen to each other.
Yes.
Take the time to have difficult conversations without insulting each other as human beings, but actually just have the conversation. It's no longer a political discussion when it becomes, well, you're just a terrible person and I hate
right.
you.
Right.
Now we're not talking politics. Now you're making it personal. Let's
right.
have a conversation about an actual issue. Sit down and say, I agree and here's why. I disagree, here's why.
Yeah.
Where can we come together and make a positive difference for the people around us and for our communities? That's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to work.
We're so far away from that, that if we could just identify the things that we do, and that's what, you know, part of the whole reason this podcast exists is to try and build these coalitions with other people in different parties or doing different things in mutual aid programs and stuff, because we really are so far away from our end goals that we need to make steps together. We're not going to fight this huge system that's been built up for 200 plus years by fighting against each other. That's what the folks at the top want, is they want us fighting with each other, so we're not being moving forward and progressing our society in a positive direction.
Absolutely. And I'm really lucky that I've been involved with different groups within my community, because I get to work with these groups of people who in my county tend to be very liberal leaning, very Democrat voting. But there's also a lot of conservative type people. Massachusetts is very weird. A lot of people self-identify as Democrats or vote Democrat, but the majority of voters are actually independent in Massachusetts.
Right.
And many of the older voters and many voters in general are actually conservative in that they don't like change. So they do respect and understand diversity a little, but they don't like, they're very hesitant, resistant to changes. And that's true of most older populations. As you get older, you kind of get sick of change. You're like, I've been changing all my life. I'm done changing. I'm just going to be sad. But that's part of life. Like, until the day you die, you can always grow. You can always learn something new. And it's important that we have that mindset that we continue to learn and grow.
Yeah.
And it's important to cross over and work with other organizations. One organization that I work with on a national level is the National Transgender Visibility March, and I work with their policy team. And I am the lone libertarian voice on that policy team.
Yeah.
And there are times where I will disagree heartily with everybody on that committee. And there are times where I will raise points and they're like, I never thought of it that way. Where you're coming from this on social justice, where you're coming from this on ending the drug war, or talking about, you know, justice in terms of racial inequality and the laws and things that politicians have done, you're actually coming from this as a stronger point than we would have. And so we actually like what you're saying. We want to do that's even better.
Right.
You know, ending qualified immunity and ending cash bail and those things that really hurt marginalized communities. You know, I don't want to take a half step.
Right.
I want to take the whole damn step. I want people to be free.
Yes.
And so it's important that where we can intersect with other groups, other parties, other ideologies, where we can intersect, that we do have those conversations and work with people. Now, my hard line is I don't work with people who want to hurt others.
Yep.
And so if you're out there messaging that a group of people is not human or is subhuman, I'm not going to work with you on anything. I'm sorry.
Right. Yep.
I will try to converse with you. I will try to educate you. I will try to teach you and reach you and hopefully bring you over. But I'm not going to directly work with you and help you advance your goals. Yep. I can't do that. What I can do is be willing to have tough conversations. And hopefully, if I can reach one person, if I'm in a room with 100 people who hate transgender people and I can reach one person and show them, well, she's actually nice. She's a kind human being. Maybe transgender people aren't so bad. Maybe I should look a little more into this. And then hopefully, if they have a family member who comes out, they can be supportive right. and helpful rather than hateful to that family member. Because remember, it's not just about us as individuals. It's about the other people that this impacts too.
Right.
So every single person we turn into an ally, every single person we educate and get to understand, and we bring them over, that means other people in their lives who we don't know of are going to have a much better experience because of it as well. And so it's just a snowball effect of compassion and kindness and love. Yeah. And that's why education is so important, because that's what brings us there. Education teaches people. People aren't born knowing how to hate.
Right.
It is learned. And so to unlearn that, you have to teach. But people are conditioned to want to be loved and to give love. We feel good when we love.
Right.
We feel good when we show love. We feel good being loved. We all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be able to be free. Those are normal human conditions.
Yeah.
And so those are common ground things. Education is the bridge to get there. We have to be willing to teach. And so the most important piece in teaching is first listening. In hearing what those people have to say, because you'll know with what they have to say whether their ignorance is just ignorance or if it's actually hate-filled, violent-filled type right. rhetoric. And for those who are just truly ignorant and don't understand, those are the kind of people that education works on. We can bring them over. We can make them allies.
Right.
And eventually, as we change the society and make more and more allies, our allies will stand up with us. They'll stand strong with us. So we don't have to do all the work. And what happens is that the next generation, the younger people that come after us, they're going to have a much, much better life. And whatever amount of life we have left to live, it's going to be better for us too.
Yeah.
So let's do it together.
No, that's awesome. And I did, you know, when we were talking a little bit earlier, I did put the, I just want to mention, I put the PayPal address in the comments so that folks can, you know, donate to the exploratory committee and hopefully that turns into a wonderful campaign. And I do have the graphic loaded. So this is Ashley's graphic for, you know, the graphic for the entire campaign. And, you know, you can go and I have it linked right in the event in kind of the promotion stuff, Ashley's page to go to so that you can, you know, support the campaign and go on and interact and take a look at some of the stuff that she's doing. There's wonderful, you know, already a wonderful article of you in the Berkshire Eagle. You're quoted there. And I think it's a wonderful message as well. So this time flew by. I just popped up and looked at the time, and I want to make sure you kind of have one last, you know, spot to talk about either, you know, the exploratory committee or just your messaging or whatever you want to talk about. You know, kind of give us your closing remarks, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm going to touch base on two things. One, if you're interested in supporting the campaign, please reach out or donate. We'd be happy with donations if you want to be a part of it. I love having people a part of my team. We could always use more help as well. Yeah. But if you really believe in compassion and education and love like I do, get behind us, join us, help us get the word out, and help us make that decision that yes, I actually should run on this message, that yes, this does resonate and can work. And it's important that we figure that out before we officially announce. So if you believe in that message, please let me know. Please let me know that we're doing what we, you know, what I personally believe in, that other people believe in it too. Because yeah. If I can find that support, then that's what's really going to help drive that decision to make sure we go forward with this. The second thing I want to talk and touch base on is I want to touch base with anybody who's listening right now. And I had a hard conversation a couple of months ago with people on a panel for Transgender Day of Remembrance, where we honor those who were killed over the past year. And during that panel, I had to speak to some parents who, you know, talked about how they were afraid for their children's lives to walk outside, to go to school, to exist in their neighborhoods. I want everybody that's listening to note three things. One, you are not alone. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know who you are or what struggles you face, but you are not alone. And if you need help, please reach out. Please reach out to your friends. Please reach out to the proper resources. And any of you can reach out to me, and I'd be happy to talk to you. Secondly, if you're out there and you're afraid, I understand. I was once afraid. The scariest day of my life was the day I came out. And I remember that fear every single time I think about it. And so I know what it's like to be afraid. I'm with you. I will help you if you are afraid. I am here fighting for you and with you. Please do whatever you must to be safe and be who you are. And third, I just want to tell you, if you're listening to this, but again, you are not alone. You matter in this world. You are loved. You deserve dignity and respect. You deserve to be treated like a human being, no matter what you're going through. And I hope you find your peace. And I love you.
That's perfect. Yeah. No, the truth. That is not something that Ashley just says. That is something that is absolutely true. I have been lucky enough to be a recipient of that love, and I know others who have as well, and it's wonderful. And I appreciate everything you do, Ashley, especially personally for me, but even more so to the communities that you reach. And it's a big reach, and it's wonderful.
Can I just add one more thing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Before we go, I just wanted to give a shout out to Kennedy. In one day when you're older, Kennedy, and you can listen to this, I want you to know that we're here today, right now, doing everything we can to make sure that you and other people that are growing up like you're going to grow up have a better place and a better world. And I want you to know that we're fighting for you and that we love you and that you are the future and that I hope when you listen to this in the future, that it is a better world than we live in now and that we were a part of that.
Yeah. No, thanks. That's a little misty in here. no, it's one of the reasons I do any of the things that I do is just for a better world for the future. Of course, my daughter, but everyone's children, I really want to make sure that the world is a much better place. It's, you know, it's not all awful. There are wonderful things. There's wonderful love that you share, that folks do share. But we have a long way to go, and we really need everyone to work together to get there. So thank you so much, Ashley. I could not be happier talking with you. I'm sure I'll talk with you later, probably tonight and tomorrow as well. But I hope you have a wonderful night, and thank you. And I love you, and have a good night. Yeah.
I love you too.
So that was Ashley Shade. Just like I said, a wonderful friend of mine, but also just a wonderful person who has done so much for so many other folks in her community locally and communities nationally, you know, internationally. She's touched a lot of people's lives. I've seen it personally, and I am just very happy to have her on. I'm happy that you know, my community here in the post-political community and my friends and family who do watch are exposed to what Ashley has to say, and also, you know, that she and I, you know, as well are here for anyone who is going through a hard time and needs to talk. If you need Ashley's contact information, please let me know. And she's definitely okay with me sharing it so that you can reach out and have whatever kind of discussion or questions or anything you need. She really, truly is a person that's there for everyone, that loves everyone. And I couldn't ask for, you know, a better friend. So I'm super happy to have her on, and I hope you all enjoyed, you know, the podcast tonight. And have a great night. See ya.